We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Happy Saturday, everybody. It is Gabe Ramirez. And, you know, you heard Rick Party, the guy that does the voice. He said, now back to more Gabe Ramirez. This is my first time on the mic, but when can we... Is there ever enough?
Producer mistake by me.
There's no mistake. I'm on the station. It's more. I'm trying to make a point. More Gabe Ramirez.
That's true.
I'm going to be on BetQL later today. The Cubs game will be going on, but you can listen to that on the Odyssey app. Typically, usually here on 670 The Score, but the show will go on because it's a national show. So I think it's like 38 cities or something like that. So BetQL, be on that later. More Gabe Ramirez. Then tomorrow, filling in for Matt Spiegel, who did a great job yesterday on the Cubs game. If you watched the game, he got to jump in a couple of innings, and it was great to hear Spiegs on that. And then, so that'll be tomorrow, 9 to 1, roughly. I'll be doing hit and run for Matt Spiegel. And then more Gabe Ramirez, Monday, 7 to 9. I'm back to back. I haven't done three straight days on the score in a minute. So more Gabe Ramirez. So you were right. No mistake, my friend. Right on point. And then, did I say Monday I was back? Yeah, Saturday, Sunday, Monday doing the night show. Then Wednesday, you know, because there's no Danny Perkins now. So you got to, they're on a mad scramble to have people filling in.
Well, guess what? You'll be with me. I'm on the afternoon show Tuesday through Friday this whole week for Tanny.
Tanny left and Tanny said, I'm out?
Funny enough, yeah, Shane and Tanny both out this whole week. They're going on separate trips.
Smart. It's probably the right thing to do, you know? 24-hour marathons, you know, a lot of emotions over the last couple of weeks here at 670 The Score. So a well-deserved vacation for Chris Tannehill and, of course, Shane Reardon as well.
You'll get to have some fun with myself and Robbie Triano.
Love the duo. And I love working with Speaks. Yeah, Speaks is an easy guy to work with. But we'll have to talk a little bit about, you know, him doing the Cubs on Friday. We're also going to talk about, you know, the hit and run action that I'm doing. I wonder if I'm doing hit and run because Speaks is doing some more stuff with the Cubs on Sunday. I guess we'll figure that out in a second. But other big things that are happening, more than just more Gabe Ramirez, the Bears play today. The fact that I'm on the air while the Bears are playing is a little unnerving to me, I'll be honest, especially because Caleb Williams will be making his debut at Soldier Field in the rain. No, don't shake your head no, Tyler Farrengall. This is a great thing. You want to know why? Because I need to put that boy in the elements.
No pun intended. Weather the storm.
He needs to weather the storm. I'm thinking about, like, you know, because most people are like, I forgot what show I was on last week. I did the Bears post game last week. So the Bears played. Yeah, we watched the whole game. Caleb had his, you know, did his thing against Buffalo. And then it was myself, Cassie Carlson, and Lou Kanellis. We were doing the post game for the Bears last week. And it was really cool to see Caleb Williams. I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, you guys, if you listen to the 670 The Score and you've heard me on here, I speak from the fans' perspective. I'm not trying to come up here and be a table pounder or be yelling at people and saying how bad of a job they're doing or whatever it is. Like, I'm coming from the fans' perspective. So I have a little bit of fandom in there. But, you know, I've been on The Score for over two years now. And the analyst in me comes out through that. So I think to circle back to the beginning of Caleb Williams and his performance last week, I don't think Bears fans were as excited as they should have been. Even now, like after a performance like last week, Bears fans should be going crazy. All the Justin lovers and the Caleb haters, after last week's performance, everyone should have been up in arms like, oh my God. Caleb Williams gets the ball two times, puts 6 points on the board, and everybody's like, yeah, that's what I expected him to do. It's like, what? You expected him to do that? That's what's wrong with us sometimes as fans. The expectations are too high. This man got the ball on his first drive with a Bears uniform on, drove down the field, and handled business. Not just handled business. But if you watch that, I mean, if you're watching his first drive last week, Great that they had DeAndre Swift with the run up the middle. Perfect. Then you go Herbert out wide. And that was when Caleb held the ball a little bit too long on that very second play. He holds the ball, doesn't make the decision quickly. It reminded you of Justin Fields. He hits, goes to the sidelines and then like waits to get rid of the ball and then takes an unnecessary hit. At that moment, you could have been sad. But then it was third and 13 on his first drive. And he throws a strike to DJ Moore on third and 13. The Bears are usually on the opposite end of that. The Bears are usually the ones playing defense on third and 13 when a stud quarterback comes in and throws a laser to their wide receiver one. We were fortunate enough to get that. Again, he just drives down the field, gets the field goal. Then, the man gets the ball on his own 3-yard line. I was in the Bahamas all week, so I don't know how much people were talking about this. But the man was on his own 3-yard line and casually took the Bears down the field for another field goal.
What was your favorite play from Caleb Williams during that first preseason game?
I think it's the, I wrote them all down, so I got them all literally right in front of me. So you got the third and 13 dime. You got the first and 10 shuffle to DeAndre Swift. I mean, that was cool, but I didn't love it. First and 10, Herbert goes for 9, and then the two runs that get stuffed. So not only the third and 13 and the shuffle to DeAndre Swift exists in the first drive. On the second drive, gets it to Herbert for 3. Throws that pass to Rome Odunze on third down that drew the illegal contact. But again, that was third down, getting the ball there. Then on that first down, he does that bootleg to DJ Moore, which I thought was great. You know what my favorite one was? The second bootleg to Cole Kmet. And I'll tell you why. Even the cameraman was faked out on that one. The cameraman, like, are you understanding what we're saying here? Caleb was like, nope, not this guy that's in front of me. It was Gerald Everett, was the tight end that was right there in the short. Nope, not going to throw it to that guy. I see Cole Kmet all the way down there. I'm going to hit him with his dime. It was beautiful. That was my favorite play. I'll tell you this. So he was 4 for 7 on the day last week, but there were two.
Should have been 6 for 7.
There were two drops, DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. But I want to go back to that DJ Moore drop. Because if you go back and watch that play, the same thing happened with the Cole Kmet throw, where Caleb looked past the initial read. I think that one was Gerald Everett as well. He looks past Gerald Everett, who was open. And I'm sure DJ Moore is like, because they're both running that route at different depths. So DJ Moore obviously is like 10 yards behind Gerald Everett. And Caleb, DJ Moore is probably like, oh, nice little dump off to Gerald Everett. I'm just going to keep running this route though. And Caleb Williams is like, no, sir, you're DJ Moore. I throw you the ball because you're going to catch it. And that is one big difference that I noticed. So my second favorite play was the drop. How about that? My favorite play was the pass to Cole Kmet. My second favorite play was the drop by DJ Moore because Caleb Williams just showed you on his second drive after learning from the first and said, nah, Papa, I do this. I throw that ball to the second level, pass this wide up because I want those yards instead of these yards. That was impressive to me. Cole Kmet's drop after the bootleg and the dime, that one hurts the soul. And then the pass to Rome Odunze, again, that one, and I love what Caleb Williams, pull that up for me, Tyler. Caleb Williams talked about the misconnection with Rome Odunze in his post-game press conference. And I want him to explain it because, it was funny because Cassie Carlson, Fox 32, were doing the post game together with Luke Kanellis. And I said in the post game, we were showing the highlight. And I said, right there, look, Rome Odunze is running parallel with the front of the end zone, which is probably what you think you should do. However, Caleb Williams saw something different.
Rome and I talked about it, and that comes from time of getting on the same, same page and same connection. we talked about it, and I actually thought he was going to take it high because I thought he saw the guy, which he did. He told me he saw the guy that was below him, one defender and one of our teammates down the right sideline. I thought he was going to either settle or go to the back pylon. He started coming out flat. By then, I had to let the ball go, and I tried to give him a chance and put it back pylon, see if he could run under it.
It was beautiful. I got goosebumps. I wish you guys could see this. I literally have goosebumps in my arms for two reasons. One, Caleb smirks. In the very beginning, I know you can't see it because this is radio, but in that moment when he's explaining that play, he's like, and that'll come with time.
And he, to your point about the smirk, he knew exactly what he did wrong and maybe to correct it for next time they run that
play. It was almost as if he's like, that won't happen in the future. This is our first game together where I'm able to throw him a ball in live action. That won't happen again in the future.
Even on the sideline, too, you see them immediately talking about what could, like, I love to see that out of young guns on this team.
And the fact that there is a mutual respect for one another because they both saw each other in college over the course of 2 years. Washington and USC were playing each other. Roma Dunze knows who Caleb Williams is and vice versa, and they respect each other. So when they're able to have those kinds of conversations, it is not a quarterback telling a wide receiver, this is what I need you to do, or a wide receiver telling a quarterback, this is where I need you to throw the ball. It is two guys that know they are at the top of their respective games, and they need to come together to do something. So again, I love that, and I love the throw. When you go watch that play, he just, with a little bit of oomph, puts it in the back corner, anticipates everything, and what he said at the end was the part that made me smile. So I saw him do that, and I had to let the ball go. So I put it in the back pylon to give him a chance. I think far too often last season, or over the course of the last couple seasons, 5 years damn near, it feels like, quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears, it seemed as though they were afraid to take chances because of the potential outcome. I don't want to throw that because I don't want to throw an interception. I don't want to throw that ball because I don't trust my wide receivers. I want to give grace to some of the quarterbacks that have played over the last 5 years. I don't trust my wide receivers, so I'm not going to make that play. And it's just cool to hear Caleb talk about that in a different way. And then you get to anticipate. And so, you know, a lot of people were saying, hey, you know, is Caleb Williams going to see the field again in this preseason? And people forget. Guys, if there's one thing you should do, I understand. I want you to listen to 670 Score all the time. But like right there, 1A, you're on your phone all the time. Go watch the press conferences. Go watch Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams speak every week after a game. Don't wait for us to regurgitate what they say. See it in real time. Go watch the 5-minute thing, 7-minute thing. You get so much information. And so I was on a couple of shows, Chicago shows, and they were like, do you think Caleb Williams is going to see the field again? And I was like, did you watch Matt Eberflus' press conference where he said he wanted him to get 45 snaps? He only got 18 on Sunday. So you can make all the assumptions that you want. Oh, I don't think they're going to play him. Oh, why would they? Oh, they're doing a joint practice all week.
Massive, massive mistake if they didn't play him the rest of the preseason.
Of course. Oh, he's playing against the Bengals all week. Why would they put him in there again? To whoop their ass. To then say, okay, well, this team had a week of you. Now let's see it. Let's see it with the lights on. Yes, you let him play again. And I think that is the right answer. And I'm glad that he's doing so. And I think this will be his last game, though. Not that I think. It will be his last game, though. He's not going to play the following week.
Whole first half today against Cincinnati?
I don't even think that. I think they might give him two drives. I mean, obviously, it's all dependent on how those drives end up. Right? If it's a 3-and-out for whatever reason. You know, the run game can't get established. They run on first and second, and then he has to save him, and he can't. Then maybe, yeah, they'll give him a third drive. But who cares? There will be Caleb Williams on TV today in about 40 minutes. And the good thing is this. We get to talk to our next guest about it. Aaron Lemming is going to be hanging out on the show. Of course, he's the Bears writer and contributor for 24/7 Sports and SB Nation. Love talking to Aaron. I'm curious what his thoughts were last week and if there's anything Caleb can do to top his performance. We will talk to Aaron Lemming after the break. Don't go anywhere. More Bears talk on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez on a beautiful Saturday. Don't let the rain fool you. Bears play today. It is beautiful. We talk to Aaron Lemming next right here on The Score.
Off the fake, the bootleg, the fake pump, the fire downfield, and Cole Kmet hoping to hold on. And Cole Kmet with an excellent job along the sideline for a 25-yard gain, and Williams had some heat on that pass.
Came right back to the bootleg again. Now you've got the other option, and it's the deeper option. Way to square your hips, way to square your shoulders. Nice, accurate throw, able to hit the 7 route.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
And what a beautiful 7 route it was. Shout out to Jim Miller right there, handling business along with Adam Amin, our guy here in Chicago. Love hearing Adam Amin anytime I can. Of course, Bears play today, 12 o'clock, just a few minutes away. Man, it's going to be a good one, man. Bears, Bengals. I'll be watching here in studio. I'm on till 12:45. Why? Why is it a shorty? Because the Cubs. They play this afternoon, and they continue the series at home against the Blue Jays. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:45. First pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. We'll be able to get into some more Cubs talk in the 12 o'clock hour as Michael Cirami joins us. Yeah, 12 o'clock. Michael Cirami, I got you. Yeah, I got you. 12 o'clock, we'll be able to talk to some Cubs baseball and see what he thinks about Justin Steele as he gets on that bump. But right now, I do want to talk some more Bears, and we get to do that with our next guest. You can catch him as the Bears writer and contributor for 24/7 Sports, as well as SB Nation. You can catch him on there. And he is joining us right now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. You can check him out at Aturo.com. Aaron, welcome back, man. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good talking to you, too. How you doing?
You know, hang on. I just got back from the Bahamas. I know people are not supposed to really answer that question, but I just got back from the Bahamas and it's raining outside. So, I mean, I'm all right. I've seen better days.
I'll take it. Yeah. No, that's good.
All right. So, Aaron, let's talk before we get into this week's, you know, matchup and maybe, you know, things that we might want to be looking or that we will be looking for. Curious thoughts on Caleb Williams, the performance last week, and did it exceed expectations?
So I don't know if I'd say exceed expectations, purely based on the fact that he's a number one overall pick. And I think anybody who truly watched him in college, and I'm not just talking this last year at USC when he struggled, but I'm talking truly watched him at college between Oklahoma and USC, knew that this is the type of quarterback he is. This is the reason he's a number one overall pick, right? I mean, the improvision was there. Obviously we saw that the arm talent was there. I think if anything, the only thing that may have exceeded expectations or maybe surprised a few people would have just been how ready he was. Cause obviously that's a little hard to gauge going from the college game into the NFL. But I mean, he looked in command. He looked confident. He looked in command. There was no happy feet in the pocket. Frankly, I thought the offensive line held up a little bit better than I expected. I think Shane Waldron did a good job of kind of moving the pocket a little bit. But overall, I think, I mean, that's just kind of what you should expect. I know expectations have been a little wishy-washy, with the last two quarterbacks that they've drafted with Trubisky and Fields, but I mean, this is a different animal of a quarterback we're talking about here with Caleb Williams. I mean, not just the fact that, you know, he is the number one overall pick, but also the fact that his skill set is just different than these guys. So I think that Bears fans should come to get used to expecting, obviously there's going to be bumps in the road, but I think they should be, you know, get used to expecting this type of play and this type of pace from Caleb Williams.
We're talking to Aaron Lemming here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez with you, of course, discussing some Bears football before kickoff at 12 o'clock. When Caleb Williams touched the podium at the draft combine, it was impressive, right? I mean, it's a good room full of reporters. Aaron, you're in the midst of them usually. And he approached them, his first opportunity to speak to this, you know, room full of grown men. And he just walks up and casually just takes control of that moment. When you saw him, after the Bears game last week, you know, kind of the same thing where he was just open and honest and candid about what was going on. How, like, when you're covering that, right, and you're standing in front of those podiums, like, how happy are you to know that not only is he, you know, the superstar, but he's a guy that you feel like will open up to you?
Yeah, well, that's just Caleb Williams. That he has been charismatic like that going back to high school. You know, again, I'm an Oklahoma fan, so I got to watch the recruitment coming from Gonzaga into his first year at Oklahoma, and obviously that's become a little bit more public now with his interview with I can't even remember who it was anymore. Ryan, I think it was. I can't even remember anymore. Ryan Clark. There we go. And I want to call him Ryan Davis, but I knew that wasn't right. So, but this is just who he is. He's comfortable in his own skin. He does things his own way. He's confident. Like, he knows he's good. And the thing is I know that this has been kind of taken as like a cockiness or whatever. I think it's a confidence. I think it's a calm confidence that he knows who he is. And he's just a very charismatic human being. And I think, again, this is kind of what we're talking about before, where, you know, Justin Fields was a good guy. Mitchell Trubisky was a good guy. But in terms of charisma, Fields was a little bit more guarded. Trubisky, I don't even really know how you would describe him. It kind of seemed deer in the headlights at times. But I think with a guy like Caleb Williams, like, he's just different. And I'm not saying that guarantees success by any means, but I do think that he's going to give you more at the podium. He's going to give you more in interviews. He's going to give you more after the games. Like, you're going to see more emotion on the field. You saw that at USC, and again, that you can construe that however you want to. But I think as Chicago media and as Chicago fans get to know him more, they'll understand this isn't a cockiness. This isn't a negative. This is just who he is, and there's a confidence about him, and he's just very charismatic. And I think that is something, especially in a big market like Chicago, assuming that he plays well, will play very well with not only the fans here in Chicago, but nationally as a whole.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, he is that, and I love the fact that he's going to be contributing to the future success of the Chicago Bears. But it's not just the quarterback, right, Aaron? There's a lot of other pieces. We saw Nate Davis work his way back into workouts or training camp this week. And, you know, when you look at this offensive line of the Chicago Bears, because, of course, you should feel good about, you know, Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones on the outside. You know, you got Tevin Jenkins in the mix. And then, of course, they're the two pieces that, you know, Bears fans have been questioning over the last couple of years, and that is center and right guard. When you look at the complete makeup of it, remember a couple of years ago when Lou Getsy was like, hey, we're just going to put the best five guys out there, right? Because that's how bad the offensive line was at that point. And then they put a couple bodies last year, and that could solidify those spaces. Where it's at right now, and you mentioned it in your first statement that, you know, they played well for you, but, you know, Nate Davis and the center position. Can you just speak on that a little bit, and whether it's frustration on your part when you look at those two positions, or is it just, hey, this is where we're at in the process of building the Bears because you can't fix everything at once?
Yeah, well, it's tough, right? I mean, this is the third offseason, and really that first offseason was more tearing down than anything else, but it's tough because, again, you can only do what you can do within the offseason, right? Whether it's the draft class and you're looking at the strengths of a draft class, or whether you're looking at free agency and how much money you want to spend there, I do think that they should have done more on the interior offensive line. I think Braxton Jones is going to be fine. I think he's a lot like a Charles Leno, where he's underappreciated. He's not going to be an elite tackle. But the thing is, how many elite tackles are there, especially left tackle, in the NFL? I mean, there are levels to everything, right? And there are obviously levels to left tackle. But I think when you look at the interior, Tevin Jenkins is one of the best guards in the NFL when he's healthy. But again, when he's healthy has been a big thing, because if you look at it, he's missed almost as many games as he's played over his NFL career. Obviously, a lot of that came within his rookie year. But I think that you're kind of looking here, and I know Ryan Poles has talked about how he likes the depth better. And to a certain extent, I agree. I mean, especially Matt Pryor looked pretty good. Again, it was preseason, but, you know, he's a veteran offensive lineman that has played both tackle and guard, so you get some experience there. But when you're looking at center and when you're looking at right guard, you're looking at two spots where there just hasn't been a lot of health. The only health that there's been between the three guys in those competition has been Coleman Shelton. And I think because of that, I think Shelton will end up playing or starting at center. And then I think Ryan Bates, assuming obviously Nate Davis can stay healthy until week one, I think he's going to be the odd man out. But again, if you're looking at this from a, are the Bears a contender for the division? Are the Bears a contender for a playoff spot? You know, most playoff teams, when you're looking at the quality of offensive linemen, Nate Davis has had some good moments. Obviously, not really so much with the Bears, but, I mean, there was a reason that he signed a three-year, $30 million deal. I mean, he's a good offensive lineman when he's healthy, when he's motivated. And I think in an ideal situation on a good offensive line in the NFL, a guy like Ryan Bates is going to be depth. Coleman Sheldon was a starting center for the Rams last year. Obviously, they went out and upgraded, but the Rams made the playoffs. So it's just when you kind of look at it, you have to start kind of comparing that to some of those teams. And you brought up the point about Luke Getsy saying we want our best starting five. I think it's all it's philosophy, right? Because he comes from an area in Green Bay or came from an area in Green Bay where they really do field their best five. They say, okay, like for example, right now they drafted Jordan Morgan, who was supposed to be an offensive tackle. It looks like he's going to start at one of the guard positions. Like they just get the best five guys out on the field. They rotate those guys. Jenkins has been the same way for them. So, but that's more of a philosophy thing. I think for Shane Waldron, you're kind of looking more at like, we want to get these guys solidified. And I think if they were healthy, I think it would be a different situation. I don't know if I'd say frustration, but I do think out of all the spots on the offense right now, obviously we're you know, you take out the rookie quarterback aspect, but if you're looking at receivers, tight ends, running backs, everything else, the offensive line has the most questions on it. And I think that, yes, it does take time to build an offensive line, but they also haven't used a ton of draft capital earlier on in the draft outside of a guy like Darnell Wright. So at some point, you're going to have to start investing more into that and into the trenches as a whole. But I think it's just going to be a wait and see thing. I do think they have a good offensive mind in there to be able to kind of scheme around that. I mean, Waldron schemed around that in Seattle the first few years he was there, too. So I think they're at least in better shape there. But I'm not going into this thinking they're going to have a top 10 offensive line. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely not. But hey, maybe the quarterback can make them look a little better, and the running back, which, you know, leads me to my next, you know, question. You know, DeAndre Swift. It was funny. I was on a podcast a week and a half ago, and one of my opening, they asked me a question like, "Oh, Bears," and I was like, "Yeah, well, I think DeAndre Swift, you know, could make the Pro Bowl, you know, or could be a Pro Bowl caliber guy for the Bears with this team." I didn't even finish my sentence, and these guys just like started ripping me to pieces. They're like, "He's not even the best running back in the division. He's not this. He's not that." And I was like, and I stopped them, and I was like, You do know he made the Pro Bowl last year, right? Like, yeah. They forgot. I don't know why, but I was like, you knew it. You crapped on my opinion here, but he made it last year, so it's not so far fetched. When you look at his role on this team, I mean, he's a small guy, right? I mean, Khalil Herbert's still trying to get some reps in there. Of Roschon Johnson, for whatever Velus Jones reason, they're giving him a lot of opportunities. How do you see this running back room playing out over the course of the year? And do you see DeAndre Swift as a guy who can duplicate that Pro Bowl success of last season?
Yeah, I think Swift is a very good fit in this offense, right? I mean, obviously, you know, you go back and you look at what he did with Detroit, and it was a little bit disappointing with them, right? Obviously, he was a higher pick. Health was a big reason for that. But you saw what he could do last year in Philadelphia, especially behind a really good offensive line. Now, again, obviously, the Bears probably don't have that quality of offensive line, but no, I think especially because, again, when you're talking about the other running backs on this roster, and I mean, Velus Jones Jr., that is still so new that I don't even think it's it would make much sense to speak on it from my perspective. What I will say is this: Khalil Herbert is an outstanding runner. The problem is he's not a very good pass blocker. He's not a very good receiver out of the backfield. Roschon Johnson, they were hoping he was going to kind of become that do it all guy. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, this is the second time in 2 years, and we haven't even got to the season yet where Roschon is missing, you know, considerable time. Last year it was with a concussion, and this year I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's a groin, what it is. I don't even know if Matt Eberflus has come out and said it. But again, it kind of goes back. It's like the same thing as the offensive line. Like, you got to have guys that are healthy. And I think the big thing here to keep in mind when you're kind of looking at it from an expectation standpoint, again, this isn't Luke Getsy's offense anymore. They're not going to go running back by committee. Shane Waldron was very much this is my bell cow back. We're going to have another guy as running back two that's going to get some touches. Outside of that, we're not going to worry about it. But that running back one is going to get the majority of the touches. And I think that's the reason that they went out and spent $8 million a year on Swift, was because he can catch out of the backfield. He can block. He's an explosive runner. I think really the big thing with him is vision. That will be kind of something to kind of keep an eye on this year, depending on what happens with the offensive line. It's easy to have good vision when you have a really good offensive line in front of you.
Right.
So, but I do think that he's going to be the guy. More than anything, I'm kind of more curious to see what ends up happening, obviously, health is going to be a big thing. They've got kind of a log jam at running back, and that was before they threw Velus Jones Jr. in there. So all of a sudden, you're talking about, you know, what do you do with Travis Homer? Is it worth keeping both Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson on the same roster if those guys are not going to see many touches, especially as a third running back on the roster? It's going to be interesting to see. I'm not predicting by any means when I say this, but it wouldn't shock me if Khalil Herbert ends up being the odd man out and they trade him for like a late round pick next year. I'm not saying that's the right move,
yeah.
But I also think we have to kind of keep some context here. Is, you know, Khalil Herbert is not this, he's not this regime's guy. They didn't take him in the draft. So, and he's on the last year of a rookie deal, and I would highly doubt that they're going to re-sign him next year. So if they can get something for him and Roschon Johnson healthy, it would shock me if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Homer wasn't my favorite last year, but, you know, you can see he has skills catching the ball to the backfield. And, of course, Shane Waldron's probably going to want to incorporate a bit of that. Speaking of catching the ball, Aaron, DJ Moore last year, over 1,000 yards, I think it was like 96 catches, close to 100. Do you see his productivity staying the same, going down, or ticking up a bit?
I think it's going to go down a little bit. I don't think that has anything to do with DJ Moore. I think it just has to do with the fact you got a rookie quarterback back there. You know, like, as much as we want to look at this, you know, look at the receivers and say, okay, well, you know, DJ Moore is going to go for 1,200. Keenan Allen's going to go for 1,000. Roma Dunze is going to go for 800. I mean, that's 3,000 yards right there, right? And right. You're not even incorporating the running backs. You're not incorporating the tight ends or the fact that they've got a rookie quarterback. And they've never had a quarterback. I know this has been said a lot, but they've never had a quarterback go for over 4,000 yards in a season. So I think, you know, something along the lines of 3,600 yards, like double the touchdown to interception ratio would be good expectations for the quarterback spot as a whole. But again, like when you're looking at this, I mean, assuming Keenan Allen stays healthy for the majority of the season, maybe not all 17 games, but the majority of the season. And, you know, I don't see a route to one of those guys going for 1,400 yards like they, you know, like DJ Moore did last year. Now, that's not an indictment on him. I just think that that's kind of the design of the offense. And I think Roma Dunze is going to be another interesting one where, you know, at least if you're going off of what we saw in the preseason last week, which is always a gamble, but he was the one coming off the field when they were going into those two wide receiver sets. So I think they're going to do some rotation. I think if you gauge it off of what Seattle did last year under Waldron, especially with a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba, it's going to take probably 8 or 9 games for Roma Dunze to really carve out that role. But again, once that happens, I mean, you're going to have each one of these games is probably going to have a guy that's going for close to 100 yards. I don't think that's going to be DJ Moore every single time. It's not going to be the same thing as it was last year when their number two receiver had, 350 yards, Darnell Mooney, something like that. Yeah, I mean, they got a lot more options this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It'll be cool to see. 'Cause you're right. I mean, every game, at least it should be, there should be a wide receiver that comes close to that 100-yard mark. It'd be great if we can get a couple close to it. I mean, obviously, well wishes would say over the hundo, but I mean, I'm not being greedy over here. I just want close. That'd be good for me. And it's just going to be fun to watch. Now today, Aaron, before I let you go, I do want to, you know, just talk a little bit about today's game. And obviously they've been having joint practices all week with the Bengals. We've been seeing the highlights on social media. So in your mind, when you're watching this, what are you specifically going to be looking out for?
Well, I know this is a conservative answer, and this is not a fun answer. I just hope they can get out of this game healthy, right? I mean, because that's the thing. Like, we're talking about preseason, and yet they play today, and then they play again on Thursday, and week one's not very far away. So, obviously, you'd like to see the offense go out for like a quarter, be able to put it in the end zone. I think that should be a realistic expectation. But more than anything, just stay healthy. Get to week one. I mean, this is probably not going to be a team, realistically, that contends for a Super Bowl this year, but they should absolutely be in the playoff mix. I mean, the division is going to be a tough division. I don't see any reason why they can't at least contend there, but at least for a wild card spot. But you got to have your key guys healthy. And I think, especially for Caleb Williams on the offensive side of the ball, you've got to have the offensive line healthy. You don't want to see any major injuries go down there. So again, you know, you want to see the offense maybe take another step, but at the same time, more than anything, like when we go back and compare, or, you know, go back and look at the, you know, just training camp, joint practices, even the preseason, they rarely translate to the regular season, right? So at this point in time, like, yeah, let's get some good warm and fuzzies going on here with the offense. But more than anything, let's make sure that the health of this team is where it needs to be week one so they can hit the ground running and not start off 0-4 like they did last year.
Yeah, I'd love to see that and maybe a sustained drive. I love that. I'd love that. Take me down the field, Aaron, and then I feel all right. All right, well, I know you'll be watching. I'll be watching in about 15 minutes, and I look forward to talking to you again, Aaron, about the Chicago Bears.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it.
Love it. Aaron Lemming, Bears writer, contributor for 24/7 Sports and SB Nation. As you just heard, he is the good. So make sure you guys follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. All right. The Bears playing 15. We're hoping they get a victory. But a different Chicago team surprised us with a victory last night. I'll tell you who they are and how they did it next right here on The Score.
2-2. Swinging ball game, and the Sox end Astros' 8-game winning streak, taking game one of this series 5-4.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
So of course, you know, wins are few and far between for the Chicago White Sox, so when they get them, your boy the resident Sox fan here gotta shout him out, man. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Sox win yesterday. They were up 4-1, and I was watching it, and I was like, no way, they're up 4-1. And then you see Garrett Crochet go out. Tukey Toussaint comes in, who he's kind of like, who's the pitcher that I'm thinking of that the Sox got like towards the end of the season? He's a veteran, Latino, dark skin. Cueto, Johnny Cueto. He kind of reminds me of Johnny Cueto, where it's like he can blow you away with his stuff, or he could walk eight guys. It's like, it just depends on the day. But he came in and I was curious. I was like, oh man, how's this going to pan out? And then sure enough, gave up a couple runs, but the Sox held on. Sox win 4-3 yesterday. And, you know, Grady Sizemore, man, recently took over as the interim manager. This we know. He got a win yesterday. And his first victory was August 12th when the Sox beat the Yankees, right?
Correct.
So he's got two. It's a good percentage. I know, I'm not saying it like that. But it's interesting to hear Grady Sizemore. The reason why I am like in awe that Grady Sizemore is the manager, current manager of the Chicago White Sox, is because, as I mentioned a second ago, I'm a Sox fan. So I've seen Grady Sizemore play center field for the Cleveland Indians and bust our ass. And now he's on the other side of it, actually coaching the team. And it's like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. But again, the difference is when a player hears Grady Sizemore say something about a play or what should happen or whatever, he's not a random schmuck. It's Grady Sizemore. He played at the highest level and did it well. So when he says things like this about the Chicago White Sox team, I genuinely believe him.
What does it say about the fight of your team to come in here against an Astros team that's really been streaking and be able to get a win?
Yeah, you know, so proud of these guys. They've been fighting really hard. I think I told them, you know, these last, you know, five games or so, you guys have been playing great, and just to keep it up and the good things will happen. And they showed up again tonight and really battled and fought hard.
You think a win like this could be like a confidence booster?
Definitely, definitely. You know, that's what we're trying to do. Try to get them to play loose, get their confidence back, and have a little fun out there.
You need confidence, right? If you when you lose so much, you just tend to think that you're going to give it up in the later innings, or, you know, you just don't deserve it, or whatever it is. You're not good enough. But when you put a victory together, you're like, okay. And granted, it was Garrett Crochet on the mound for the first four innings. That helps. Just a little bit. But you still got to play the rest of the game. And the Sox did a great job. And, of course, Luis Robert Jr., two dingers on the day. It's great to see him get into the action. Love seeing him involved. And, I mean, if you were concerned about Luis Robert Jr. and his desire. Great. Who better to talk to him than another center fielder? another center fielder that played at a extremely high level, gets to talk to directly to Luis Robert Jr. via a translator, but gets to talk to him and tell him, Papi, I played your position. You're a dog. You're a killer. You're the man. And Luis Robert Jr. is like, it's not just fluff, right? It's not fluff from someone. This is someone who did it at a high level. Speaking of Garrett Crochet, he talked about his innings limit.
How do you feel physically? You look fine.
Yeah, I feel really good. Pitch count was 60 tonight. Felt like I could have thrown more, but I completely understand the workload cautions that are going on. The five-day routine, you know, I've been preaching it all year and even before the year started, but it's been awesome.
You ready to keep going?
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, just keep logging starts and, you know, at the end of the year, you know, see where the innings count is.
How important is it to get to 30, 31 starts? You're at 25 right now. Is that a number that you wanted at the beginning of the year that you looked at?
Just, I don't believe that I've ever had a year. Yeah, because in 21, I was on the IL for my back at one point. In 20, the flexor strain. So to have a year where I can, you know, get through the entire thing healthy would be, you know, just huge for my confidence, especially in this new role. And I think it would just further reaffirm, you know, the idea that we had in spring training that this was better overall for my health. And it's kind of been trending that way all year. So definitely it feels good.
Yeah, get stronger, Papa. Get stronger so maybe you could be more valuable in the offseason. Stay like Aaron Lemming said about the Bears in a couple of minutes. Just want to get out of the season healthy. That way you can keep that value there. Well, Sox continue today out in Houston. That'll be a great series. That one starts at 6:10 p.m. Chris Flexen on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. Hunter Brown getting the ball for the Houston Astros. But there is a game that'll be happening here, right here in Chicago on the North Side. Cubs taking on the Blue Jays. First pitch, 1:20. Pregame begins at 12:45 right here on 670 The Score. I'm leading you right into that. So it's only fitting we chat about the Cubs on the other side. And we will chat with Michael Cerami, who runs Bleacher Nation. Covers the Cubs on Bleacher Nation and runs it. But we will talk to him after the break. And, you know, Cubs got swept by the Guardians. Hot team. One of the best records in baseball. And then they get to face the Blue Jays. Jumped on him early. What does he think will happen in today's matchup? We talked to Michael Cerami about the Cubs after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.